This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. It's really fun. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a terrific service department, whether it's an inspection, routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Always great to be joined by Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Thank you so much for your time, as always, Bob. Thanks for being with us.
Sure, my pleasure, Steve.
There's a lot of focus on Shohei Ohtani as he tries to get to 50-50. There's a lot of focus on Aaron Judge, who right now has gone 16 games without a home run. What does Mookie Betts mean to this game, and what does Mookie Betts mean to the Dodgers?
Oh, I think he means everything to them. And they're such a better team with him in that lineup. Particularly, playing the defense he does. Great base runner, good arm, very good outfielder, on and on. But I don't think they're in a position to even compete for the World Series without Mookie Betts. What a great deal for them. I mean, that's what when people talk about the old Babe Ruth trade, trading him to the Yankees, this might be right behind it. The Mookie Betts trade was a disaster for the Red Sox.
My exact words the day after it happened. By the way, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, and no, I was not alive when Babe Ruth was traded. But my grandfather was. All right. So, what about the Dodgers pitching at this point? What do you see with them pitching wise? Because we know about the Kershaw struggles and so forth.
They're a mess, an absolute mess. I don't like them. I know the World Series is wide open this year, and you can of the 12 teams probably eliminate two or three from the start. But I think it's a long shot to get to the World Series. I could see them being one and done again. I don't see them beating. Right now they're going to get lucky because Arizona and San Diego will play each other first round, so at least knocks off one of them. But I'll take Arizona or San Diego, in that matchup against the Dodgers for the division series. I mean, when you're in, Jack Flaherty, he's fine. He'll be their number one. Mm-hmm. But, when you're talking about Yamamoto, he's only thrown, four innings in 3 months. Glasnow still hasn't come back. Walker Buehler's been a mess. Bobby Miller's a mess. The bullpen's shaky. So I don't like their chances. I really don't, Steve.
I agree with you completely. Then I look at the Phillies. The Phillies, to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, this is the epitome of what a 162-game season looks like. Awesome start, big slump, bounce back. What has been your thought on Philadelphia and what's allowed them to bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, that pitching was just so dominant, and they need that pitching. The offense is streaky. That's what worries you in the postseason. The same thing can happen. Arizona and San Diego, are pretty consistent. So, particularly here in the second half, the way they played. But yeah, I mean, they need those guys to step up. They need Wheeler and Nola, to be lights out. Need Ranger Suarez to step up and be that number solid three guy. And you got to hope that the bullpen, hangs on. The bullpen's still a little bit shaky, now too. Maybe not as shaky as a year ago with Kimbrel, but still still uncertain there. So, I mean, they may be the best team in the National League, but just like they showed last year in the NLCS, all it takes is two or three bad games by the offense, which they've done a lot the second half, and they're done.
Well, you brought up Ranger Suarez. Up to June 30th, his ERA was in the mid-2s. He's been 6.09 after June 30th. Now, he was out for a period of time. How concerning should that be for Philadelphia if he's in that spot, especially if he's the 3?
No, very concerning. At least if he's a number, starts up number 3 starter, because you'll have that day off after game 2, that bullpen will be rested. So if he only gives you 5 innings or so, you can put that bullpen to work. But, yeah, they need someone to step up. Maybe it's like Christopher Sanchez. It looks like Taiwan Walker, won't be that guy. Right. So, they need Nola to be that guy, too. I mean, I think Wheeler should be fine. It's all about pitching and defense in the postseason. It's so rare for some team just to slug their way to a World Series. And like I said, that thing's erratic. They need Bryce Harper, too, to be the Bryce Harper the first half and not the second half.
Yeah, because, it's been a month, literally, since he hit a home run. Are the Yankees too reliant offensively on the Judge Soto 1-2 punch, or is there more balance than we see?
I think a little more balance. I think, Jeff Chisholm has done well. But, you see what's happened without those guys, without the when Judge has slumped, and he has slumped, they struggle. They rely on a lot, those two guys. But, yeah, same thing. They need that pitching to step up, too, and that pitching's been very shaky.
Mm. Yeah, no. In the American League, who would you view as a threat in all of this to the Yankees at this point?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why Houston can't bounce back and be in the eighth great ALCS and everything else. Very good. They very good team. Really bounced back nicely. And the Orioles, I know they haven't played well, but still, at some point, that offense has got to come together, and they can still scare you. But I would say Houston.
Which then brings up the part that you talked about with Philadelphia. You talked about a short series. Is Houston the team that's built well for a short series?
It is. With that pitching staff, they know how to win. Absolutely. I think they're very strong in the short series.
I watched the Royals play the Yankees in that series. And I really had not watched the Royals that often this season for obvious reasons. I mean, it's not like Kansas City's on here in Pennsylvania all the time. but it was really a first chance for me to really watch Bobby Witt Jr. play. I love watching that kid play. What do you think of him as a player, as an all-around player, base running, hitting, fielding, even on the game-winning hit the other night, he made a phenomenal play with the infield drawn in. What's your thoughts on him?
You got to think he's got to be one of the top 5 players in the game right now. You're talking about Otani and Judge. You might put him at number 3. He's that good. And big reason why the Royals have bounced back from 106 losses to this. He's the glue of that game and that team. And obviously, Salvador Perez has done a wonderful job, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame one day as a catcher. But which one of the best young exciting players in the game? We used to talk about Mike Trout. You got to talk about Witt. Being that same that dynamic for a franchise.
And by the way, Perez was playing first base the other night. He made a fabulous double play, tagging out at first and then a great throw to the plate to get somebody. So, yeah, and Perez is bad is what it is. I'm not saying the Twins are a threat to win it all, but what would it mean to them to get Carlos Correa back and playing here down the stretch?
Well, it's amazing. And they have Byron Buxton is just coming back today. And they're hoping Correa comes back next week. But, I saw the stat. They've only had the 3 of them in the same lab together for 17 games. Oh. It's been unbelievable. And the Mets and Giants have got to be very thankful they didn't sign Correa to that, you know, to that huge contract they both offered, because he's really had trouble with that foot. I know it's plantar fasciitis, so it wasn't the ankle injury that scared people, but still. But yeah, they got a couple nice starters. Got a very good closer with Duran, but you know, for their sake, they're not facing the Yankees again first round. I've never seen a team just own a team like the Yankees own the Twins. So, but yeah, if you know, I would think you know the Twins would make the playoffs. They'd have to really collapse, even though they're doing their best to do so. But I would think the Twins, the Royals, and the Brewers. I would think those three teams would be a real shocker, I think, for them to win the World Series, where you give a legitimate chance to the other nine teams.
Right. The Mets. Can you explain to everybody the quality of play of Francisco Lindor and what you've seen from him this season? Because, I mean, he may be playing in New York, but a lot of people, because of the Yankees, a lot of people don't see the Mets play that often.
Yeah, good for him. When he got over there, it was a nightmare. So, oh, man, did they ever blow this contract, giving him $41 million? On the field too, when he's getting booed and giving the thumbs down sign, things like that. Not a good relationship with the media. It just looked like he was going to go real south in a hurry. And then he's bounced back. You know, nice season a year ago. And hey, if it wasn't for Otani, he'd be the MVP this year. So he's been great for them, great for leadership and everything else. Always upbeat, talking to all his teammates. So he's certainly the glue of that team. I don't think Pete Alonso will be back next year, but Lindor will be the face of that franchise.
And now we go to the absolute opposite end of the spectrum of what we're talking about here. Why, after seeing this body of work, are the White Sox that bad?
I know. It's almost like, talking to scouts, you could put a AAA team, and I think you'd have a better record. They'd certainly have a better record in the second half.
Yeah.
I think they've only won, five games in the second half? It's unbelievable. You know, 81 games under 500. No one's ever done that. They changed managers. It's actually gotten worse there. Granted, they traded away some pieces at the All-Star break. That's where I thought, they're going to break the record for sure. But even, you'd think you get lucky once in a while. And the bullpen's been horrific. They've been in a lot of games through six innings and then always lose games. I think the record, I forget what the exact number was, but, tied or being one run after six innings, is a very respectable over 500. But then those last three innings are just a crusher.
Well, if this were college football, they would be everybody's homecoming game. All right.
Exactly. It's kind of the Washington Generals or the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Washington Generals. Oh, yeah. I actually had a buddy of mine who played here at Penn State, played on the Generals. And so I said, Carl, what's it like losing every night? He says, oh, we don't worry about it. He says, we get money. It's like, okay, we're part of the show. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, that's what's come. I like your analogy better, the homecoming team. I agree. That's what they are.
Hey, absolute pleasure, Bob. Thanks so much for your time. Terrific as always.
All right, my pleasure. Take care, Steve.
You bet. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. The White Sox, everybody's homecoming opponent. Thank you. We'll come back more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right. Great to have you with us. This is the music, by the way, that the suit moonwalks into the booth on Friday night. It's tonight, Williamsport gets to see it. The chief, Dave Ritchie, now just turns away.
Requests a swivel chair so he can just turn his back easy.
I mean, I think you saw it when Lewisburg played Chickalemme, right?
No, I wasn't that early.
I am here. Starts moonwalking into the booth. Hey.
I can honestly say the only time I get that early to a football game is when I used to do them on the radio as well.
Yeah. You know, I want to give Kevin and Dave props. The last 2 weeks have had to have been for two guys who are really invested in the team and the community. Look, it's hard to call games where the team you're calling is outscored 79-0. And they do a great job of not being critical, of just calling plays, and realizing that they're high school players, realizing those young people are trying as hard as they can and certain things aren't working out for them. And they do a marvelous job of understanding that and handling that on the broadcast. Because there's no need to go overboard when things aren't going right, especially when you're talking about 15 to 18-year-olds, at least the vast majority are in the 15 to 18-year-old range, who feel worse about it than anybody else. And you have two broadcasters on there that understand that and also understand the coaches and where they're coming from. And I give Kevin and Dave a lot of credit for that. So
I think Dave's either played or coached for Chickalemme since the early 70s, mid-70s?
Yeah. And Kevin's 20 years plus, right, doing Chickalemme?
I think it's late 90s. I think it's almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years doing Chickalemme.
He might not want to admit to that.
No.
It's a concession to age.
There's no such thing as a concession to age. I don't think. You know that? I just think age is, you know, the old thing, age is just a number, blah, blah, blah. But it's all about how you feel. I mean, no offense. I mean, I don't feel my age as to what I thought I was going to feel at this age. Nope. Not in the least. Now, maybe I've been fortunate, but that doesn't mean every once in a while, about 10:30 at night, I start to doze off, maybe. But that, yeah, of course, yesterday was when I was done with the show. I spent 2 hours before the network talk show repairing the fence in my yard. So I was out there doing that. I got it all done, but because there were three areas where it's a vinyl fence and it has to be held up, and of course you have four brackets. Well, I had two of the fence areas where essentially they were being held up by one, because the three of the brackets, which were vinyl, broke. Like, okay. And then I had one that had two that was holding the whole thing up, and they were both on the same side. So I repaired that yesterday for a while, but I felt the same way as I would if I were 40 years old when I was done.
Yeah. I sometimes feel it when I'm sitting at work for 2 hours and get up and decide to move. But other than that, I don't feel old.
Not in the least. I mean, I'll go out. I'm going to go out and play a little bit of golf tonight. Get like 9 holes in. I feel whatever. But Kevin and Dave, you know, they deserve a lot of credit. You know, and look, Greg Wetzel does a phenomenal job. And O'Brien does a phenomenal job. And Coach does a phenomenal job. I mean, look, you know, Michaels does a great job. I mean, we're really fortunate. We have absolutely terrific announcers where it doesn't sound like your average high school game on a Friday night. It sounds like several levels above that. Well, I mean, that's how good our people are. And I love the YouTube channel. I love the YouTube channel. So they're going to be at Williamsport tonight, huh?
Yep. Shooks at Williamsport, that kicks at 6:30 or pregame at 6:30 here on 1070. Lewisburg hosts Hughesville over at Milton. That's 6:30 on 100.9 mm-hmm. The Valley. Right. And the Seals are home with Central Mountain on 107.3 at 6 o'clock.
So the Seals game with Central Mountain will be on SBC Sports Live and the YouTube channel.
Correct.
Right? And then WKOK, same story, YouTube channel at Williamsport. Now, Hughesville, Lewisburg is on 100.9 The Valley, but it's on 100.9 The Valley, no YouTube channel. Also tonight, Warrior runs at Bloomsburg, Loyal Sock at Midwest, Northwest areas at Muncie, Lime Mountains at Halifax, Milton is at South Williamsport.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Tap Hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle Bar, led by my two personal favorites, the Barrels and the Dills, indeed second to none. Stock up for the weekend now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, the best in the business. By the way, I was mentioning high school football. Lime Mountains at Halifax, Milton at South Williamsport, Montoursville's at Mifflinburg, Central Columbia is at Danville, Southern Columbia at Mount Carmel, Wyalusing is at Montgomery. And a couple of interesting games tonight in college football. Kansas, the Illinois game was interesting. Illinois won the game, yet I felt like Kansas, the way they played, lost. Well, they've got UNLV tonight in Lawrence. And you have Arizona, Kansas State. Oh, a Big 12 opener. No, it's actually a non-conference game between two Big 12 teams. Then scheduled ahead of time, and it stayed that way. Do we have the king?
We do not.
Oh, no. No, no. Especially with, I believe Big Brother's down the stretch, right? And I think Cam Sullivan Brown's still in it, right?
I couldn't tell you that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Huh. So, yeah. We'll see if we can get him on here. To talk about such doings. I mean, we were talking about high school football before. And let's say hello, we are here. See if he responds. Not deliberate, of course not. Naturally. Try again. No, not deliberate. It's just, it's amazing. All right. But this is that interesting weekend I talked about earlier, where it's week three, but it's rivalry week. Yeah, where the Seahawks play is Lumen Field, so that's where Washington will take on Washington State. Okay. Oregon's at Oregon State. West Virginia's playing at Pitt. You even go down to Florida. Florida International's playing Florida Atlantic this weekend. Now, you'll notice that Wisconsin is hosting Alabama, and that's big noon kickoff. This is a golden opportunity for Fox to do something they rarely get to do, and that is to get Alabama on their air. So they made him big noon kickoff. I mean, this is one of those games that was selected in the preseason. And that's the reason why they have an opportunity to do it. Now, both teams are 2-0. Off to good starts. I know Oregon is playing Oregon State at 3:30 opposite Pitt, West Virginia. I will probably start out watching the Oregon-Oregon State game. Now, you may have a different way of doing it, but... Now you may have to text them. I can't get the deal to deliver here. So, well, for all we know, he's not available. I mean, he could be out on a delivery or something. He's, you know, it's one thing about, as he said, having the show at 1 to 3. And we've been here, what, 14 months now, 1 to 3? But it's a little more difficult on his schedule when it is. It is after all a work day. It's a work day.
Maybe he should retire.
I've been telling him to. Apers, cats. I have been telling him to.
I was going
to
say, he's the older brother, right?
No, he's younger.
Is he?
He's young. Yeah, by 14, oh. Yep, 14 months he's younger than me. Yep.
That's not going to make me any friends if I think he's older, huh?
That's because I look so youthful.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. But, yeah. It did go through. We'll see what he does here. So did you see South Alabama? See what they did? They beat Northwestern State last night, 87-10. Okay. The onslaught was so bad, coaches from both teams agreed to shorten the fourth quarter by 6 minutes. They only played 54 minutes last night.
I also saw that you could not cash on the over or anything in Las Vegas on that game. And by the way, if you're betting on that game, you have an issue. But
because
they have to play 56 minutes of game time, and since they cut the fourth quarter so short, mm-hmm. they didn't reach that.
That's right. So the DraftKings house rule states there must be 5 minutes or less of scheduled game time left for bets to have action unless the specific market outcome is already unconditionally determined. So,
yeah. I think that one might have been unconditionally determined.
Yeah. Well, did you see Peyton Thorne, the Auburn quarterback, who threw 4 interceptions? There were people getting a hold of him because on Venmo, because they lost to Cal. Because on Venmo, they want him essentially to refund their money. Really?
When I was reading that story that's one of the reasons they don't want individual college prop bets.
First of all, it is very difficult today for a college athlete to be on social media, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or whatever it happens to be. Because, you know, for young people, a lot of times that is their window to the world. So a lot of people are on social media. But if you're an athlete, this is very difficult to do. But I'll say it anyway. Somehow, some way, you need to stay off it. Or just stay away from it during the season. You don't need to know what people are thinking in a given moment. And I've talked about that with... Now, this class, I haven't talked to them about it, and it reminds me that I'm going to have to talk to them about it on Monday, about the use of social media and the discipline that they need. Because I always tell them that, remember, you are the known entity. So in this case, Peyton Thorne's the known entity. So you're the known entity. I said, there's only one person in response that's going to look bad. and that's you, as opposed to an anonymous individual. You can sit there and think the anonymous individual is, what an idiot, what a jerk, how stupid, the whole thing. But you don't know who it is. That's why they're, quote, anonymous. That's why they're hiding behind a screen name. Same thing with message board material. And my message to the young students in class is simple. I'm fortunate at this stage of my career, I do not have to be on social media. Now, do I have a Twitter account? Yeah. Have I ever used it? No.
If Steve's on his Twitter account, it's me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Todd's just promoting the show on it. So I'm not. On Facebook, you know what my Facebook participation is? I wish people happy birthday. That's about it. So I stay away from it. Because I just don't, there's no need for me to do it. But I'm also at this certain stage of my career where I also realize that for young people who are trying to get their name out there, trying to get their brand kicked into gear, they do need social media. I understand that. So when I talk to them about it, I tell them, number one, don't get into, for the lack of a better term, Twitter or Instagram fights. You're the known entity. You don't need to do that. There's only going to be one person that looks bad in it. It's you. Even if you feel like you have a gotcha line, I said, you're still going to look bad to some people. I said, you don't need to do that. I said, in the end, it's only going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt the anonymous person. How hurt can the anonymous person be? That's why they're anonymous. Nobody knows who the heck it is. And I said, use it to promote work that you're doing. Hey, coming up at 6 o'clock, I have a feature on whatever it happens to be. I said, that's how you need to use it. I said, maybe somebody has a question, you can engage them on a question. Maybe you can give them some help, give them an answer, whatever it may be. I said, but when it comes to Twitter or Instagram arguments, I said, you need to stand clear of it. I said, maybe difficult to do. I said, but you have to get your emotions in check because you're the only one that's going to get hurt in it is you. How often do we see the name entity be the one that gets the heat on something because of the name entity or something that they posted? And I'm sure it's difficult for some of these people to do, and because, again, being young people and getting to this point, they have been that anonymous entity. But when you get into the media world and become at least somewhat known by somebody, it does change the stakes for you. So you have to start out, get your online discipline going. Now, I don't have to worry about online discipline. You have to be online to do that, don't you?
Well, that is your discipline. You just don't get online.
Yeah, I just don't get online. Yeah. But yes, but yeah, I take an entire section and talk to them about that.
I mean, if you need examples, I'm sure you don't have to go far either.
No, I don't. As a matter of fact. You know, and everybody has a different temperament. Some people have like, okay, they roll with the punches in life, they roll with the punches in conversation, and they roll with the punches online. And there are other people that are emotional, opinionated, maybe the trigger is a little quicker on the temper compared to somebody else. And, you know, that's the person that has to discipline themselves. It's just, you know, and for athletes, athletes are the ones, they can ill afford to get into something like that. And the last thing that you need, there are two things that are bad for anybody. It's one thing to have a coach or a manager or a company supervisor talk to you critically about what you're not doing right. Right? You need to work on this. Okay? Or here's what you're doing wrong, and here's the right way to do it. Okay. That's internal. That's one-to-one. When an athlete or coach or somebody in our business and somebody's critical of them online, and of course they don't know the circumstance, they don't know the play call, they don't know what it's like to sit, like, you know, I saw earlier about Al Michaels, you know, you don't know what it's like sitting in that chair unless you've been there. You know, really what, you know, the right way to go about things, which he did. He went about exactly the way he should last night, despite the fact that people have been critical of him. They're wrong, and he's right, because you have to be smart and cautious about that until you have it confirmed and you know for sure. That is the nature of the business. But you can't let people, when they get negative, what happens is you start to think. You don't need that. Number two, when they're lavishing praise on you, that's the poison you worry about, because then you start thinking you are better than you are. And if you stay away from it, your opportunity to be better grows, because now you're trusting the voices that know what they're talking about. So if you're a player, I'm talking about a coach. If I'm talking about a business, it's somebody who's in management, been there, done that, knows why, what, and they're giving you advice. Right? They know, they've been there. As opposed to somebody who has no experience into telling you what to do. Like, what? And that's why I think it's very difficult for young people in particular to have social media discipline, because they are hooked into it, and that is a primary source of interaction. It's a primary source of news material. It's a primary source of social material, because that's the way everything is today. But you have to be more disciplined than ever with this, and athletes have to be disciplined with it. You can't have athletes out there posting stuff. Just if they stay away from it, as difficult as it is, I think you avoid the pitfalls of it. And it's difficult for people to stay away from it. And look, it's difficult for adults to stay away from it, let alone somebody who's 15 to 23 years old. You're only on social media because you have to be for your job, because there may be something that comes up in it. Is that fair?
Yeah, for the most part these days.
Yeah.
I like Facebook to look at pictures, but I'm also of the age where my classmates are putting kids' pictures on there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't have that part. It's never been something that, like, people ask me about fantasy football. I go, geez, I don't even know how to play it, because I have no interest in it. Same thing with social media. I have no interest in it. And so maybe it's easier for me because I don't have interest in it. But that's me. You know, maybe I'm just different when it comes to that. I don't know. Which is a distinct possibility, by the way. But stuff like that never meant anything to me. Take a break. Wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.